You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. His name was Matt Epling. His eighth grade classmates voted him as having the best smile, the best personality, the most likely to become an actor. On his last day of eighth grade, Matt Epling was attacked by upperclassmen, a welcome to high school hazing. 40 days later, Matt committed suicide. That was in 2002. Ever since then, his parents, Kevin and Tammy Epling, have worked tirelessly in Michigan to end bullying, to make schools safe for all our kids. In 2011, Governor Snyder signed the Matt Epling Safe School Law. It gave our schools 6 months to create and implement anti-bullying initiatives. With this being a National Bullying Prevention Month, we thought it was a good time to talk about how well Michigan schools are doing in efforts to end bullying. We'll begin by welcoming Matt's father, Kevin Epling. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
And Suzanne Spurr joins us. She's a counselor at Chippewa Valley High School in Macomb County, where a program called Hero in the Hallway is changing attitudes towards bullying. Welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Kevin, it's been nearly 5 years now, hard to believe, since Matt's Safe School Law was signed by Governor Snyder. So looking at this five-year period, where would you say Michigan schools are in terms of developing these anti-bullying policies and initiatives?
Well, I think in developing the policies, every school has a policy. I think where we may be falling down is that we're not actually implementing those policies that we've written. And I think that's where our next effort really needs to go into, is that if a school has a policy, that they implement that, they act on it, they let the parents know and the students know exactly what's in that policy and how they're going to enforce it. And I think that's one of the biggest pieces of advice that I've always given parents, is to get your school policy, look at the law, and correlate those two, and go and ask a lot of questions, because I think bullying does not have the deep conversation that it really needs to have in our schools. And that's what we want to do, is open up this conversation more.
Why would something be drawn up and then the next step not taken as far as implementing it, you know, in day-to-day school life?
It's hard work. It is very, very hard work that it has to be done on a daily basis, a routine basis. And I think people have kind of missed the point that bullying prevention is a cornerstone of a good environment in our schools. And at times, it can be much more important than test scores. Because if a person is afraid in their school, they're not learning. Test scores are going to go down. And if we actually activate those students to help, not torment each other, and be a part of the solution, we'll see test scores going up. It's a fundamental thing that really has to be looked at, and I think it's been there. We're doing it, but we're not doing it to the level we should.
Well, with that in mind, I want to bring in Suzanne Spurr. What gave you the inspiration for Hero in the Hallway?
Well, Kevin did. In 2008, one of the other counselors and I attended a suicide prevention conference in Lansing. And Kevin was one of the breakout speakers, and I attended his session and heard his story, and it was very inspiring when he said, you have to have heroes in your hallway. So when we came back, we had a meeting with our crisis team, because we yearly will present something called Yellow Ribbon, which is a suicide prevention program to our kids. And the crisis team decided part of that has to be Hero in the Hallway. So that's when we started it, and we implemented it immediately after meeting with Kevin and hearing what happened and his thoughts. So that was our inspiration for starting.
And so what is this Hero in the Hallway? Give us an idea of what it's like day-to-day at Chippewa Valley High School.
Well, every Wednesday is Hero Wednesday, and most of the staff, including lunchroom monitors, security guards, custodians, teachers, hall monitors, clerical, wear Hero shirts. And the reason we do that is because we want to send a very quiet but powerful message to the kids that we're all here for you. We don't believe that bullying is acceptable. We're not going to tolerate it. And if you need help, or you know of somebody that needs help, we're here. Let us know. You can talk to any one of us. During the course of the school year, we bring in speakers. We have posters around the building. Every Wednesday, we make a motivational hero announcement to give kids something to think about. We had the kids sign hero pledges. agreeing. Our motto this year is be someone's hero. Mm. And the pledge is very simple. It just says, if you believe mistreating others is wrong, please sign this. And out of 1,800 kids, we got over 1,600 pledges signed already, and still there's a few more coming in. So we hang those in our main hallway. They stay up all year long because, again, it's a message to our school and to the kids. It's not only is it wrong, we don't tolerate it, but we want to offer help and support.
And this is clearly reinforce. It isn't just let's have a program and then we
right.
move on.
It's interesting you say that because initially the team thought, okay, we'll do this once a year. I said, oh, no, we're not doing this once a year. And then somebody else said, okay, we'll do it once a month. No, we're not going to do this once a month. Mm. Because with adolescents, you have to present something and keep it in the forefront of their mind so that if they're presented with any kind of a situation, they know exactly what to do. It's automatic. It's immediate because they're constantly getting reinforcement and reminders.
Kevin, it strikes me that this approach is something that could work without a lot of money in every school. Why not start in first grade?
Well, I totally agree with you. I think what Dr. Spurr and her staff have done over the years is simply amazing. And it is something that has to be in front of the students every single day. We have Bullying Prevention Month here in October, but as she said, it is a daily thing that has to go on. And it is something that you can start without a lot of money. I was just recently at a school and I participated in something that cost the school a lot of money and was kind of dismayed at how it went because it was there and gone. And we have to create these programs like they've done at the school that this is not going away. It's an everyday occurrence. It's every month. That also, in her case, is very great, is you have all of the teachers are on board. They are part of the solution. The students are doing things. And it is something, and the hero in the hallway concept came from somebody I know in Chicago. It can be whatever you want to call it, but you have to do something. And I think at the very beginning of bullying prevention, the heydays from 2002 to 2010, a lot of money was thrown at this issue, but people wouldn't do anything until they got results. And I think you have to do something to collect the data to show that it's working. And that's another thing that Dr. Spurr and her team have done because they can actually show those results. And it's something I always share to schools. So every school should be thinking, how am I going to do this and activate my students, my parents, my staff, superintendent to bus driver, that this is making a difference in our kids' lives.
Suzanne, what kind of results have you been able to measure?
So every 2 years, all of our ninth graders and all of our 11th graders take a survey called the Michigan Profile for Healthy Youth. There's lots of different questions on that survey pertaining to violence, substance use, nutrition, sexual behavior, and bullying. So what they've done for us in our program is they've pulled those bullying questions out and isolated them and then given us the results. And starting in 2008, kids were reporting bullying behaviors at about a 92%. Mm. And now this past year, they're reporting it at 33%, 48%, 29%, 15%. There's been almost a 50% decline.
Boy, that is I'm not a statistician, but that is stunning.
And that's incredible because, I think the last time we had talked, you were at like 20-30%, and now you're at 50%. So it honestly shows that paying attention to this issue on a daily basis will give out great dividends. And that goes back to your question at the beginning of, well, if everybody has policies, why aren't they following it? And I think that's where you have to go back and you have to relook at your policy and integrate into that policy a program just like this that you are actually going to be doing these things and creating the checklist and doing the data. And I think the data is something that nobody was gathering at the beginning. People were afraid to really do things that were out of the box. This whole hero in the hallway idea is out of the box. But I've always seen that it is in the students. That is where we are going to get the biggest shift in making a dent in this. And I started talking about this in 2005, 2006. And at the time, people were, nah, they can't help. And they are the biggest tool that we have, overlooked tool that we have in our schools?
I'm speaking with anti-bullying activist Kevin Epling. His son Matt took his own life in 2002 after an eighth grade school hazing attack. And also with Chippewa Valley High School counselor Dr. Suzanne Spur. She created an anti-bullying program called Hero in the Hallway. Now, Kevin, you maintain that bullying is not a student problem, it's an adult problem. And with that in mind, part of the conversation during this Bullying Prevention Month this year has been about what some call the Trump effect. You've got Donald Trump running a campaign that's broken new ground in political campaigns in terms of name-calling and behavior that many consider to be bullying. What have you felt, Kevin, as you've watched this unfold during the campaign season?
Well, there's kind of two parts to this, and I do think that watching this campaign season, if teachers really should be using this as a great social experiment on this issue, and just strip out the politics and look at body language, the language being used, because even in the presidential debate, you saw two very different forms of what one can say is bullying behavior. One was over the top on Mr. Trump's part, bombastic, trying to yell the other person down. But if you really looked at it, you could also see some very kind of subversive behavior on Hillary Clinton, because she knew the buttons to push. And that's some of the things that happen in our schools. We have students who understand what buttons they have to push on targets to get them to react. And then when they finally react, unfortunately, we have targets that are getting in trouble rather than those that are doing the manipulation. So it has been a really interesting dynamic, I think, even since the first primaries. And I think it's a great tool that schools should be using right now and say, strip out the politics.
Yeah.
Let's just look at what is happening personally.
And for you, Suzanne, I mean, on one hand, you're trying to teach your students to, you're clear of this behavior, be a hero in the hallway. And on the other hand, you see the kind of things that Kevin just addressed. How are you talking to your students about this?
You know, it's interesting because we want to tell kids everyone deserves to be respected, but they don't buy that. Everybody doesn't deserve to be respected. But what they hear and they understand is not respecting someone doesn't mean disrespecting them.
Correct.
And they get that. They get that. Okay, so we're not going to ask you to respect every person, but we're going to ask you not to disrespect every person. And that's meaningful to them.
Kevin, has Matt's safe school law accomplished what you and your family had hoped it would?
To the letter that we were able to get it written, yes, I believe it has. It took us a long time to get the cyber issues in there. Unfortunately, they still put a loophole in there. It's something we would love to kind of go back. But I've always saw that getting the law was a tool. It was not a punitive tool, but it was a tool for parents and students, fellow teachers, so that, again, they can have that guidepost, that directive of what they should be doing in their school. And so they can get that. They can compare it with the law. They compare it with the policy of their school. So when parents have questions. So I've always seen it as a tool. And in that respect, and making schools have policies, because up until that time, you have to understand,
yeah,
it was merely a suggestion to talk about this issue. So we've put it front and center, and I think that's the most important thing that we chose to do.
I have to imagine that as you watched the controversy with the thousands and thousands of public comments about the state school board's suggested guidelines for LGBT students, that must have really struck a chord for both of you. What did that outcry, because so many of those comments were vehemently against the guidelines, what did that say to you, Suzanne, as an educator?
I know that people are overwhelmed with all the new mandates and all the new laws and all the new things that are being asked of them. But I think that people aren't breaking things down and really taking a look at what's decent and what's right and what's good and what's appropriate and what everybody should be doing anyway.
And your thoughts, Kevin?
Well, if I had to go back when I first kind of got dragged into the whole thing about policies and the law in 2005, the main fight was over enumerated language.
Hmm.
It wasn't really focused on safety of children, which is what I felt at times. I was the only person in the room thinking about the safety and well-being of our kids rather than language. And that was a big battle, and I think that was part of the thing I had to try to shift the attention, you know, from just that one area to what are we doing as a society in our schools, and that's a big part of it. And that is something that really we need to kind of go back and amend even to Matt's law in the next administration or one down the road, is highlighting, you know, who is affected, because we are all affected by bullying behavior. But sometimes if it's not written down, some people don't take it seriously. And I think that goes back to your question of why I say it's not a student problem, it's an adult problem. Because if you look at a lot of the failures in our laws, our policies, our implementation, our costs, the number of people that we have dealing with this issue, those aren't student issues. Those are all adult problems. We create those problems, and we're putting hurdles in front of ourselves that we really should be just getting out of the way.
You know what? People don't understand. It's very easy, because if you have adults in the building modeling behavior, the kids will imitate it. Kids have good hearts, good souls. They want to be praised and reinforced and complimented and shown that good behavior is the best route to take. And I'll tell you, we get nominations all the time from teachers, from administrators, from clerical, from security guards, for kids who did kind, wonderful things. And whenever I call them in my office to thank them and to tell them that they're exactly who we're looking for and who we want in this building, they always say, if I were in that other person's shoes, I would hope somebody would do that for me. Kids get that. They get the notion of being in someone else's shoes and needing help. And their picture goes in our Hero Showcase. We give them a little $5 gift card. And it's very simple to just keep up a positive, very powerful, reinforcing program, because that's what people want. They want to feel good. They want to feel safe. They want the goodness to spread. And so it's so easy to do.
You know, they are willing and ready to step up and be that change. And we just have to have adults who are willing to step back and let them take the forefront, and they will show us amazing ways to do things. It's the power of the students who have kept me going this long, because every time I go into a school and I see exactly what Suzanne is talking about, I've had more success with students than I have with, you know, admins and some teachers, but I have to put my faith in them.
A good way to advance this conversation in a big, big way is the first annual Community Conversation on Bullying. It'll be October 17th at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi. Kevin Epling is going to be the moderator, which is going to be great.
Yep, I get to be the ringleader.
There you go, with a big, big lineup of experts from so many fields, from education to legal to mental health to parents and students. So a worthwhile day. You can get information by going to defeatthelabel.com. That's defeatthelabel.com. It has been great talking with both of you, Kevin Epling and Suzanne Spur, counselor at Chippewa Valley High School. Thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.